Welcome to Torati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Reichman, and today we'll be studying the first chapter of Sefer Tzefaniah together. Who was Tzefaniah? In the first verse, we hear that Tzefaniah had the good fortune of being the prophet during the era of King Yoshiyahu of Yehuda. King Yoshiyahu was that glimmer of hope, the good king, the anomaly in the midst of so many kings who enforced idolatry as the national mode of worship, about whom Sefer Melachim tells us in chapter 22, Vayas hayashar b'enei Hashem, vayelech b'chol derech David aviv v'lo sar yamin u'smol. Yoshiyahu chose the straight path, and he chose to follow in the pathway of his ancestor David. It's interesting to think about whether Yoshiyahu was naturally inclined towards righteousness and spirituality, or whether perhaps it was the words of Tzefaniah, the Navi, that inspired Yoshiyahu's positive actions. The Gemara Megillah gives us some tools by which to learn a little bit more about Nevi'im. Based on those tools, we know that Tzefaniah was the Navi, the son of a Navi, and we know that he came from Yerushalayim. There's an unusually detailed lineage laid out in the first verse, where we go all the way back to four generations prior to Tzefaniah. Dvar Hashem Shariyal Tzefaniah ben Kushi ben Gedaliah ben Amariah ben Chizkiah bimei Yoshia ben Amon melch Yuda. It was the word of Hashem to Tzefaniah, the son of Kushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Chizkiah, in the times of Yoshiyahu, son of Amon, king of Yehuda. Why does the pasuk go all the way back to Chizkiyahu? I think that clearly the pasuk wants to draw some connection between Chizkiyahu and the Navi Tzefaniah. Some of the Mefarshim maintain that this is Chizkiyahu HaMelech, as we would have thought, while some say that we cannot be certain whether it was King Chizkiyahu or perhaps it was a different righteous person by the same name. Based on the frame of reference, the fact that we're Nevi'im Achronim and the Navi doesn't specify that he is another Navi, it is reasonable to assume that this was in all probability the king of Chizkiyahu. This connection between the two of them is something that we're going to keep in mind and return to. It is only fair that I warn you at this point that we're about to hear a very fierce and tragic prophecy. But if you stick with the Navi, I promise you that the Nechama, the reparation, the healing will be so comprehensive and so deep and so uplifting that it will make what we're about to hear bearable. The Navi uses the word asof to describe annihilation. And the Navi proceeds to tell us about the complete destruction of all machinery of Avodah Zarah and the annihilation of everything living, of fish and fowl, animal, and all of the people from the face of the earth. Asef adam uveima, asef of hashamayim, mutzgei hamayam, v'machshelot et harishayim, v'chrati et adam me'al pnei adama, ne'um Hashem. And then Hashem talks specifically about the kingdom of Judea and Yerushalayim. V'natiti yadi al Yehuda v'al kol yoshvei Yerushalayim, v'chrati min hamakom hazeh et sha'ar habal, et shem hakmarim im hakohanim. Hashem will destroy whatever remnants there are of Baal, and he will destroy all of the priests, either two different types of priests, or perhaps kamarim, the priests for idolatry, as well as priests of Hashem. Hashem now talks about various different groups of people within Yehuda and Yerushalayim, all of whom will be destroyed. People who are bowing down on the rooftops to all of the celestial bodies, people who swear in the name of Hashem, and people who swear in the name of the kings. Some of Farshim tell us that this means that whoever the king tells them to serve, they are going to serve, or rather that they'll swear in the name of Hashem. If that doesn't work out for them, they swear in the names of the Avodah Zarah, who they make their real monarchs. Those who are nesogim, those who previously served Hashem, but now they left service of Hashem. And finally, people who simply have not sought out Hashem. Lo vikshu et Hashem, v'lo drashuhu. People who seem to be apathetic about spirituality and don't care about the word of Hashem. Why is it necessary to name all of these different types of people that Hashem will destroy? Why not just say Hashem will destroy everyone? Sometimes when we look back and we want to understand an era in history, we paint all the people with one broad stroke. We say they were evil in this time, they were learned, they were not learned. And this just really points to the fact that there's so many different people and such a nuanced reality in every era. There were so many different people, even within Yehuda Yerushalayim during this time, yet they will all meet the same fate. And the Navi warns, Has mipnei Hashem Elokim ki karov yom Hashem, ki chin Hashem zevach hikdish kruav. The Navi warns us that the day of God, the impending day of God, is close. That Yom Hashem is a term used throughout Yeshayahu and various other Nevi'im Achronim. It is almost always, but not always, used for something very tragic, but always for a dramatic moment where God's intervention in the world is absolutely obvious. And we hear that Hashem is preparing a slaughter, and he has already designated his guests, or those who he's calling to come and perpetrate the slaughter, specifically according to some Mefarshim, Nebuchadnezzar, who will come and bring destruction upon Yehuda and Yerushalayim, reminding us that whatever nation comes and succeeds in bringing tragedy or destruction upon Am Yisrael are actually coming at the behest of Hashem. While it's discussed that the extent to which they harm Am Yisrael is sometimes more than what Hashem would have chosen, still, the fact that they are coming to fight Am Yisrael is always at the behest of Hashem. And we hear that Hashem is going to specifically hold accountable the Sarim, the ministers, and the children of kings. Vayad biyom zevach Hashem, ufakatizi al ha-sarim ve'al b'nei ha-melech ve'al kol ha-lovshim al bush nachri. Those Sarim could have admonished Am Yisrael and could have brought about change. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that talks about this, that the people are all responsible, the righteous people as well, because they did not bring about change. Where there's a conversation in the heavens, and Hashem says, yes, they wouldn't have changed anyway. And finally, the prosecuting powers say yes, but Am Yisrael and the Sarim did not know that. Finally, we hear about those who are wearing Malbush Nachri, clothing of a foreign nation. And that could either refer to the fact that they are serving idolatry and so wearing their clothing that they wore when they served idolatry, or that they're just wearing the status symbols of the foreign nations, of the wealthy, in order so that they could be haughtier and elevate themselves and be prouder than the regular people in Am Yisrael. What will be the reaction to all of this devastation? Everyone will cry out from all over. Different wails and cries of mourning will emanate from either all different places in Yerushalayim and Yehuda, or these are references, Sha'ar HaDagim to Akko, a place of Dagim, Mishnah to Lud, Tzipori, and the Yoshvei Machtesh Tveria. No matter where the people live, there's going to be destruction, and it's going to cause them to call out, to scream out. We wail out, says the Navi, wail out those who live in the Machtesh, because ki nidma kol am Kanan. All of Kanan will be destroyed, according to some of Farshim. Kanan being a derogatory reference to Am Yisrael, who is behaving like their predecessors. Kanan, nechritu kol netile kasef. All those people who are laden with money, people who are wealthy, will be destroyed. And that is a very interesting imagery that Sefanya presents us with. He tells us that Hashem will search out Yerushalayim by candlelight. V'haya be'et ha'hi achapes et Yerushalayim b'neirot. Ufakadati al hanashim hakofim al shimreyam omrim bilvavam lo yitiv Hashem lo yareya. Hashem is going to search out to find every wicked person in order to punish him. Or According to Rashi, Hashem is going to use the candle in order to be super meticulous with judging their deeds. But it's so interesting that the Medrash, in a few different places, uses this very pasuk, "Achapes et Yerushalayim b'nei rot," to speak of something positive. The Medrash tells us, "Kvod haShabbat neroteha hein kvoda." Im shmartem neirot shel Shabbat, ani mara lechem neirot shel Tzion. That these words are referring to those who honor the Shabbos, and they will be zocha, they will merit to see the future light of Yerushalayim. As it says, vayihi ba'etahi achapes et Yerushalayim, vayah ba'etahi achapes et Yerushalayim ba'neirot. Also, the Midrash tells us that in the future, we will not need actual candles, but Hashem is using this pasuk to imply that his kavod, his glory, will light up Yerushalayim. Very interesting. It seems that the sages want us to know that this same koach, this same approach of Hashem to seek out with candles can also be used and will be used for something very positive. The pasuk uses a reference, hakofim al shimrihem, which is an allusion to people who are complacent. And all of this call to Am Yisrael about screaming out almost seems like the Navi wants to jar them, wants to awaken them and say, scream, you're going to scream. He talks a few times about the wealthy people, the complacent people. It's as if the Navi wants to say, do you see what's going on here? You complacent, you are going to be the ones screaming. The Navi tells us that Hashem is going to hold accountable the people who say, Lo yetiv Hashem v'lo yareya, Pasuk Yud-Bet, verse 12, those who believe that Hashem does not cause good nor bad. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim invokes this pasuk and teaches that it refers to people who look around at the lives of others, and when things don't run as they see fit, they conclude that Hashem does not see us. The Kutzker Rebbe famously said, I would not want to worship a God that I could understand. Those who say Lo yetiv Hashem v'lo yareya have much to learn from the words of the Kutzker. Now the Navi describes a devastating phenomenon that really sounds familiar and reminds us of something in the Torah. V'haya chilam lemshisao batehem l'shmama uvanu batim v'lo yeshevu v'natu chramim v'lo yishtu et yenam. Their wealth will be seized, their homes laid waste. They will build houses but not inhabit them, plant vineyards but not drink their wine. Very reminiscent of the 28th chapter in Devarim when it talks about the klalot, the consequences, and all the horrors that will befall Am Yisrael if they do not follow the ways of the Torah. In Devarim 28:30, you will build a house and not live in it. You will plant a vineyard and not be able to reap its benefits. The next, a few psukim later in Devarim, we hear something very similar. You are going to plant vineyards and you are going to work them, and then you will not be able to benefit by drinking the wine. In the same verses in Devarim, we hear about what will happen with the king when we hear about the klalot. Yolech Hashem otcha et malkecha asher takim alecha el goy asher lo yadata atava avotecha. Hashem is going to bring you and your king that you place upon yourself to a nation that you have not previously known and your fathers have not known. And there, Babadat Hasham Elohim Achirim Eitzvevin, and there you will worship other gods made out of wood and stone. So we hear about the king here. We're not the only ones who are hearing about the king. We know that Yoshiyahu was righteous and good from the onset of his becoming king. And that was when he was 8 years old. Straight away at the beginning, we see here, as we referenced before, Vayasa Yashar Beinei Hashem V'Yechol Derech David Aviv, he chose the righteous path and he chose to follow the path of his ancestor David. But it was only 18 years later that the event occurred Yoshiyahu decides to refurbish the Beit HaMikdash, gives instructions to do so. In doing so, a Sefer Torah is found, and the Sofer, the scribe, brings it to read to Yoshiyahu, at which point he reads from the place to which it was open, and it is our pasuk that we just read about what will befall Am Yisrael, and specifically the king. That Hashem will take the nation and the king to a foreign nation where they will be exiled. At this point, Yoshiyahu's reaction is that of one of utter devastation and repentance. He tears his clothing. He sends somebody to the Nevi'ah Chuldah to find out what he should do. And he sets out on a course of the utter, complete destruction of all machinery of Avodah Zarah. We hear 16 verses in Melachim in chapter 23 about his abolishing every single thing that has to do with the service of idolatry, whether it's the tools, whether it's the priests, whether it's the bones of the priests who are buried and he grinds them up. It is an extensive, comprehensive ridding the land, Yehuda and beyond, of all idolatry, all the way to Betel, where he even destroys the Mizbeach that had originally set all this in motion, all of the generations of idolatry, the Mizbeach that, the altar that Yeravam had established in Betel. And he undergoes this complete personal, national, comprehensive tshuva. It is here, perhaps, that we have the explanation of the lineage that traces Zephaniah all the way back to Chizkiah. Rav Yoel ben Nun says that if we have a very young Yoshiyahu, and he is righteous, and he's seeking out someone who could guide him in accordance with the ways of his righteous ancestors, as the pasuk has told us, according to the ways of David HaMelech, where is he to look? He's surrounded by idolatry and priests of idolatry and practices of idolatry. Where is he to look? And so Yoshiyahu seeks out someone who can guide him and finds Zephaniah. Zephaniah, who the Navi clearly wants to depict as connected to Chizkiyahu. Zephaniah, the descendant of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu, the last king in the Davidic line, who followed the ways of Hashem and followed the path of the Torah. Chizkiyahu also, who we know had so much to do with Yeshayahu and is deeply connected to Yeshayahu, the Navi of his time, and in fact does tshuva because of the words of Yeshayahu. So Rabbi Nun posits that Zephaniah is learning in the Beit Midrash HaNevui, the Beit Midrash of prophecy that is still teaching and perpetuating the Mesorah of Yeshayahu HaNavi, and this is a reference also, his connection to Chizkiyahu in that first verse, a reference to the fact that Yoshiyahu wants to return to the time of Chizkiyahu, who is, of course, Zephaniah's ancestor, who the Pasuk wants us to focus on. Pasuk wants us to connect Zephaniah to that time, to the era where there was the king who followed in Hashem's ways, who followed the Navi, who was able to advise him about the will of Hashem. Here we have on the one hand Zephaniah describing extensive destruction of all of the tools of Avodah Zarah and the people, the priests, and the worshippers of Avodah Zarah. And on the other hand, we have in Sefer Melachim a description, a very, very extensive description, a detailed description of Yoshiyahu's comprehensive abolishment and destruction of all tools of Avodah Zarah. And Rabbi Nun posits that upon hearing Zephaniah's words, Yoshiyahu said, Mi Akim, Ani Akim, who is going to fulfill these words of Hashem? Well, do we want it to be a foreign nation who will come and bring utter destruction, thereby destroying also all of the idolatry and people who worship? Or let me take care of it, and then a foreign nation won't want to. And so Yoshiahu, upon hearing Zephaniah's words, goes and carries out this complete destruction of all tools of Avodah Zarah and all practicing people, people who practice idolatry. The Gemara in Shabbos teaches, in l'chagadol b'balei tshuva yoter miyoshiyahu b'doro. There was no one among those who repent as great as Yoshiyahu. His was a complete and comprehensive repentance. And we know that Zephaniah was a prophet at the same time as Yirmiyahu and Huldah. They overlapped. They were not concurrent for their entire prophetic career, but they all overlapped, all three of them. And we are told that Yirmiyahu would go and speak out the word of God in the marketplace, while Huldah would speak to the women, and Zephaniah would speak the word of Hashem in the Batei Medrash, in the places where people were actually still serving Hashem. Perhaps this explains that Zephaniah had a way with the people who were more spiritually sensitive. Another idea pointing to the fact that Zephaniah inspired Yoshiyahu and his deeds. The prophecy only gets worse. We hear that this dramatic Yom Hashem is close. It will be quick in coming. Karov Yom Hashem, Hagadol, Karov Umeher Meod. And on that day, there will be bitter cries. It is a day of wrath. Yom Evraha, Yom Ahu, Yom Tzara, Umetsuka, Yom Shoa, Umeshoa, Yom Choshech, Va'afela, Yom Anan, Va'arafel. It's going to be a day of wrath, of distress, anguish, a day of calamitous desolation, darkness, gloom, a day of clouds and thick fog. It's going to be a day of terrible destruction. And we hear that Hashem will afflict mankind, and they will be walking around like blind people since they have sinned. One wonders if this is not a metaphor for people who just have no clue what the right path is. And on that day, again, another reference of the Navi to the affluent. Gam kaspam gam zavam lo yuchal hatzilam biyom evrat Hashem. On that day of Hashem's wrath, their silver and gold will not save them. There seems to be this theme of people who are complacent and or people who are wealthy, not believing that anything could ever possibly harm them. At that point, be'ish kenato te'achel kol ha'aretz kichala ach nivhala ya'aseh et kol yoshvei ha'aretz. And the entire land will be consumed by the fire of his indignation, for he'll make a sudden end of all of the land's inhabitants. We do see here that much of the wrath that is brought is to destroy any possibility of worshiping idolatry. And I want to close the study of this chapter saying that it's fascinating, this idea that Yoshiyahu, when he heard about what will happen, he decided that he will destroy the idolatry and its machinery on his own, giving us hope that if there are nevuot that tell us about how Hashem will enforce his will, then man perhaps always has the option of changing his ways and enforcing Hashem's will on their own, following in the righteous path and following the Torah. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmat Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Saud.